Wanted to talk about a couple of things that are very, very interesting that's going on as we look at the fires in Los Angeles and how we're going to deal with aid there. It seems as though the Biden administration has done a number of things in order to try and preempt whatever the incoming Trump administration would be able to do. I guess that's okay. They're in need. Everybody understands where this is going. But Senator John Barrasso, the majority whip, Republican, says that he expects Congress to put stipulations on the aid money for the Los Angeles fire, requiring better state management of prevention and firefighting. And there's a lot of folks that are pushing back on this. Interestingly, I'm not exactly sure why. I think it's time that we have a very robust, transparent conversation about what is the cause. There seems to be a lot of differing opinions on this matter as we try to deal with the vegetation throughout the canyons and the like, and whether or not there can be fire break corridors that are developed around these neighborhoods, some state parks, some federal lands, butt up against these neighborhoods. And I think it's really high time that we do have this conversation. And it seems as though there are many in Congress that believe that the only way it's going to be had is if they have strings attached to whatever monies or dollars that are sent out that way. The governor has somewhat pushed back on this issue, right? And as there's more and more revelations about budgeting, prioritization, shifting monies, empty reservoirs, whether or not there's water in the fire hydrants, why? Nobody seems to really know why. There's about six or seven different explanations as to what's happening out there, all of which don't really matter because the outcome is simply this. We have almost 15,000-16,000 structures at this point in time that have been destroyed, and thousands upon thousands of acres that have been scorched. And what's really interesting as you listen to the governor and what they talked about, and what a lot of the experts are saying, is that the state environmental rules that have been in place, to give you an example, they're like several, maybe almost a dozen reservoirs that were approved for development to help with water management in 2014. In 2024, one of those received their permit to move forward. One since that period of time. All the others have been caught up in this morass of environmental rules, California being one of the most stringent states in the country. And their own public projects can't seem to get through the process fast enough because of all the environmental activism that goes on within that state. The environmental activists there are incredibly strong as a lobby and otherwise in influencing public policy in the state of California. And as a result, they are now paying the price. But what's interesting is what one of the first things Governor Gavin Newsom did in the aftermath, and they're still dealing with, I can't even say aftermath because this is still going on, still active fires. I think there might be one fire that's over 50% contained at this point in time. Guess what he did? He suspended the state environmental rules for rebuilding. He issued a 3-page order yesterday covering all of Los Angeles and Ventura counties and direct state agencies to coordinate with local governments to remove or expedite permitting and approval processes during the rebuilding. The most significant piece is a waiver on permitting requirements under the California, you got it, Environmental Quality Act, a landmark environmental law known colloquially as CEQA. The governor also announced that he had suspended all permitting requirements under the California State Coastal Act for properties rebuilding after the fires. State agencies and local land use commissions, the process of developing buildings and complexes and subsidized rent, are no, they're, the process for them to build is long, and one of the longest in the country, and more expensive than in almost every other state, right? And the law often requires developers to fund in-depth environmental studies on projects, potential impact on everything from wildlife to noise to views to traffic. And this process, these requirements add years to even like small projects. It's absolutely crazy. And these environmental groups, they're fiercely protective of any attempts to amend CEQA or the Coastal Act. And it's not unusual for these to be routinely suspended in emergencies, and maybe for large projects such as, you got it, sports stadiums. Those seem to be very, very high priority. And, you know, so they are able to get those quickly done. And but this order was unusually extensive, they say. Now, think about this for a moment. A lot of what has happened has been as a result of the state environmental rules. And now we waive those rules. But what's interesting is there going to be a revisit of the building materials used? There's been some structures that you can see sitting out there like a sore thumb. The only one having survived with fireproof roofs and building materials utilized that are not as suspect to flying embers creating fires there. There are a number of other homes that have incorporated a number of other measures that have made a significant difference, and they survive the fires as well. So it's going to be interesting to see where all this goes, because it's very much going to influence the building codes. So many of you are probably saying, Newell, why is that important to us? That's going on in California. Well, it's the same thing here, right, as it relates to flood insurance and whether or not we're going to continue to allow people to build a home on a slab. I have a home on a slab. Never again. It will not happen. I want to make sure that I'm going to be up above everyone else to ensure that I don't ever have to deal with a flood. And there's also a lot of what goes on in the infrastructure of a house that's easier to manage and maintain having a home off the ground, in my view, in my opinion. And as flood insurance continues to go up and up and up, and we require and have demanded from FEMA the underwriting criteria to these policies, and we hear crickets in return, it's interesting to see how this is ultimately going to play out. It's also interesting to see whether or not FEMA is going to enter this foray. Because a lot of these dollars that are flowing to California are going to be right through the FEMA highway. And the reason we should be curious and watch what's happening there is to see whether or not there are different rules for different folks. Because we're still going to be burdened for many years to come as to some of the nuances and the changes that have been made in the Flood Protection Act, right? So there are a lot of similarities in what the federal response is going to be here. And whether or not, this suspension of environmental rules, if they were so important that they were willing to accept the delays that were caused by these before, how can you in good conscience now suspend them for the entire redevelopment of huge swaths of land, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of structures? And if there's a county right next door that wasn't impacted by that fire at all, and they're filing a permit tomorrow, they still are beholden to that standard, but no one else. Of course, this will probably get caught up in litigation at some point in time as it relates to due process and equal protection as it relates to these rules, because this is not like giving one structure a suspension certificate for a particular purpose. And kind of hypocritical on the part of the governor as well. And it's the same thing. All of the homes along Malibu Beach and all that have been contentious for decades under the California State Coastal Act. And same thing, same rules. Wondering to say, how will this be treated by FEMA and others, and obviously insurance agencies? And whether or not that mindset, because now they're saying that a lot of the new policies that are being promoted in California have some very exotic language. And it's something that we need to be concerned about here. Because when they get away with stuff there, it seems as though it reappears in other states. And we don't have to guess to whose benefit that language may be, right? So let us not think that we should not be concerned about what ultimately is going to happen out there. I continue to keep them in my thoughts and prayers because this incident is continuing to grow in size. But what's happening too, what's growing in size, is the changes both from an industry standpoint, insurance that is, as well as a governance standpoint, what state and local government and what they're willing to do in response and how all of this is going to ultimately be treated. Things are moving fast. And a lot of this may ultimately end up impacting us.